From the PA Foundation, I'm James Millward, and this is Vital Minds, a podcast connecting the most vital issues in clinical care with the top minds facing them every day. Now, we've all been there. Feeling burnt out from pressures at work or home has affected everyone at some point. But in healthcare, what do we mean when we say burnout? The simple definition is the physical and mental collapse caused by overwork or stress. Now, the latest headlines are especially alarming for those of us that are healthcare providers. Research published in January of 2019 by the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and other affiliate organizations labels healthcare provider burnout as a public health crisis. This is because, as medical professionals, the effects of burnout can have a ripple effect onto our patients, meaning preventing and treating this issue is not just key to our own health, but to the health of those we serve as well. Now, here to talk about this issue with me today is Nilay Keen, PAC, a psychiatric PA at Orange County Psychiatry and Addiction Medicine. And joining her is Jay Summers, PAC, a PA from Nevada Family Psychiatry. Thank you both very much for joining me today in this discussion.
Thank you for having me, James.
Thank you, James. Thanks for having us on.
Now, I'm excited to talk to you both. But first, I'm always curious to hear what brings each of our guests into the profession. You may have not realized this, but in our discussions with both of you, you've mentioned that your mothers were nurses while you were growing up. Now, what inspired you both to work in medicine, and more specifically, what drew you to become a PA?
Thank you, James. I got my undergrad degree from a pretty small liberal arts school named Scheimer College in Illinois, and my majors coming out of there were performing arts and philosophy. So, as you can imagine, you know, after that, all my mom really cared about was that I was going to be able to get a job and not live in her basement after about 30. So, but really, my mom and my favorite uncle were both nurses. And, you know, after I graduated, I was looking for something that would allow me to make a good living and work lots of different shifts anywhere in the country, while at the same time kind of being humanistic, which was my background. In the mid-1990s, when I was considering PA school, it was still pretty common to switch between specialties, and I really liked that concept. However, it was probably my mother was the biggest proponent of it, and I think she just knew my personality better than I did at that point, realized how much better medicine was for me than nursing. As for why PA, I think you have to understand at the time I started PA school, there were only about 300 PAs in the entire state of Illinois. Truly, I didn't fully understand what a PA was until I was being trained to be one. I feel I really just got incredibly lucky that it's a career that I love.
My mother was also, again, a major factor for me getting into medicine. Growing up, I watched her work as a home health care nurse. And I still remember her big blue nursing bag, which at the time seemed to be filled with butterfly needles and vacutainers. But she encouraged me to apply to PA school, again, similar to Jay, encouraged me to seek out something other than nursing. So she was a huge support through my education as well. My primary care provider growing up was a PA, Melissa, and I always thought she was the coolest woman. Her energy and her love of her job was palpable and real and very inspiring for a young woman growing up. So I appreciate her as she guided me into the profession as well.
I think you two are both a great example of the impact that early exposure to medicine can really have on your life later on when you're deciding what career path you want to choose. Now, pivoting back to the burnout topic, I've seen data recently that burnout among medical professionals could be as high as 60%. Does that number surprise either of you?
60% does not surprise me because I can easily think of providers in my immediate circle of colleagues that have directly expressed feeling burnt out. And those are just people that have admitted it to me. And I work in psychiatry, let alone critical care ER, OBGYN, which have some of the highest burnout rates in the medical community.
No, I completely agree with Nilay's assessment. You know, I recently read a study from 2018 of American physicians that found that 78% of respondents reported having feelings of professional burnout, either sometimes, often, or always. And this was an increase from 2016, where only 47% said the same. So, I mean, I know it's on the rise, but I can also see the effects on my colleagues and at times on myself. I think, you know, we all feel caught between the work to address our patients' need and the work we feel is mandatory in our environment.
I agree, and I think you both bring up a great point that even 60% is a likely underrepresentation of the true figure because so many people don't want to speak out about this and have a very difficult time admitting when they feel burnt out. Now, Nilay, you have talked a little bit about your own experiences with feeling burnt out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, went to a PA school in a small university in Pennsylvania, and then moved to Orange County, California, where I had no friends and one family member to start a career in a specialty that I had essentially no experience in. I was 23. My first year was okay, and then my second year, my boss got deployed to Iraq. I had a colleague of hers that was my stand-in supervising physician, but barely knew him and otherwise felt quite alone. And the autonomy that I loved about being a PA was suddenly becoming a very scary burden. I was very cautious. Every evaluation took me hours because I didn't trust myself. I felt overwhelmed and inadequate and didn't feel connected to my patients anymore. I found myself annoyed that they were struggling, and at times I didn't care that they were struggling. This took a while to resolve, and I can't say it hasn't happened again in the 8 years that I have stuck with this job, but I do know how common it is, and I'm very grateful to be able to be here and tell you that you have to be an active participant in making that change for yourself. I love my job so much, the job I hated 6 years ago, and if I didn't take that active role, I would have quit year two.
Thank you for sharing that, Nilay. And I think you described the constellation of symptoms very well as far as, you know, feeling overwhelmed, feeling stressed, feeling isolated, and becoming even apathetic about the situation at some point. And I feel like these are all very common things that if we can recognize them and know when to speak out, I think this is something that providers need to be paying attention to. Now, Jay, you are currently in a Doctor of Health Science program and have just completed a research project on this topic of burnout. What do you see are some of the major factors contributing to burnout?
Yeah, I'm just about to finish my first year at A.T. Stills University. Just three more quick ones to go. I'll start by saying, I could probably talk for an hour on this topic. It's so many facets and such an impact on our profession, but I'll do my best to keep it short for you, James. As a lot of us have heard, there are three components to burnout phenomenon, right? Depersonalization, which is kind of poor clinical attitude with patients being treated as objects, like Nilay just talked about. Emotional exhaustion, a feeling of loss of enthusiasm and interest for practice, and then decreased feelings of personal achievement, low self-value, feelings of futility. I think at different times, we've all felt at least some of those things. The research literature suggests that the medical professions have higher rates of burnout compared with the general population. As a medical professional, I think we think about the effects that burnout has on us. But the literature has, ample examples of the significant effects that burnout caregivers have on patients, not to mention the significant cost to the healthcare system, including medical errors, patient outcomes, prescription practices, reduced quality of care, patient satisfaction. Those price gaming scores will come down, and then you'll be even more burned out, right? So, now there was likely burnout in medicine 50 years ago, 100 years ago even, although the literature is a little sketchy on it. But I think we all know, and current research agrees, that the rate of burnout is substantially increasing due to the administrative work that's considered not satisfying, and importantly, not tied into meaningful connections with our patients. I'll conclude by, noting some specific data that's relevant to the PA profession. I came across that the literature shows that up to 20% higher rates of burnout in female healthcare providers, especially emotional exhaustion. Considering the past 5 years of PA graduates is greater than 70% female, this is especially important for our profession, and we need to address this.
That's a very interesting point you make, Jay, especially considering the makeup of our PA profession. This will truly be something that needs to be given attention going forward in our careers. Now, it is clear that as medical professionals, the work we do can take not just a physical toll, but a mental and emotion toll as well. Now, when we're feeling low or burned out, how do you feel like that impacts the quality of care that we're able to provide our patients?
It's hard dealing with other people's struggles when you are dealing with struggles of your own. It's easy to be distracted and not fully present with your patient. You can lose touch of the empathy that drove you to medicine in the first place. Distraction at work can lead to med errors, mistakes in charting, communication with your patient, and ultimately having them leave a visit possibly worse than when they got there.
I agree. The fallout is that, 15% of burnout providers consider leaving healthcare entirely. And many, many more take on maladaptive coping strategies. The effects on personal relationships and parenting is quite real.
I agree. I think you both bring up some really great points. Now, Jay, you just mentioned maladaptive coping strategies. What would you say are some examples of these?
Well, I think we can't ignore that the tried and true maladaptive coping strategies are all still used by PAs, right? Drugs and excessive alcohol use. But the other thing that the literature shows is the significant effects that burnout has on sleep. Health providers don't allow themselves enough time to sleep either because of too much work or maybe the feeling that they need to stay up late to zone out at TV, YouTube, Netflix, whatever. Shift workers are certainly the biggest sufferers of this, but all health providers often sacrifice this vital act of self-love because, in their fog, they can't see the impact it has on their mental and physical health. And this is not to mention the significant effect lack of sleep has on subsequent patient care and satisfaction.
I agree with you, Jay. I think that those maladaptive coping strategies, be it alcohol, drugs, or lack of sleep that ends up happening because of stress and feeling overworked, as you said, trying to zone out, have a definite impact on our work relationships and the care we can provide to our patients. Now, as PAs and as medical providers, how do we deal with this? What do you two suggest as far as personal lifestyle changes, or how can we prevent stress and burnout?
So I feel we need to address stress management and self-care at the student level to set a foundation of healthy practices to pull from during one's career. We are trained under stress. We allow stress to continue into our careers because it's what we signed up for, right? So to an extent, early career PAs are more likely to experience burnout than PAs have been working longer. Self-care doesn't have to be a difficult process. It can be as basic, like Jay said, as sleep, good nutrition, and regular physical activity. For those who don't know where to start with self-care, I feel like those are cornerstones to our physical health that we often ignore when we're becoming overwhelmed with our work and personal lives. There were a few strategies that really helped me early on in my career when I was actively burning out. First, I expressed my concerns to my employer. It was my first PA job, and I was her first PA, so she was also learning how to utilize me effectively without totally overwhelming me. Second, I used my vacation days. I took time off work to visit family, to explore my new state, and if I was sick, I would actually let myself rest, something I never would have done year one or year two. I remember going to the emergency room with a migraine, and I can't remember what I ended up just going back to work when I easily could have just said, I really can't come in. I am a bloody migraine. I have to go home. But I went in because I didn't want to disappoint. Lastly, I spent a few sessions with a psychologist myself, and I am so grateful for that, for her helping me navigate that season of my life, for helping me set priorities, for helping me, for providing me with a safe space to express what I was going through, with someone who could provide unbiased insight into my thinking. For colleagues of mine, that was yoga and meditation. Those were life-changing for them. Group therapy, journaling, all very, very valid and effective.
Nilay, I think you provided some great examples there of ways to deal with this, especially around the workplace. There are so many resources that we have in place that often we just aren't using. I know outside the workplace, hobbies are a very big way to kind of decompress. For me, I tend to play the piano. I focus on music and I go hiking. Things to enjoy my time and try to decompress when I start to feel that stress rising at work. Now, Jay, you mentioned that PAs may have access to employee assistance programs or EAPs. Some PAs feel very hesitant to seek therapy or mental health care through a workplace benefit. Now, do you see this as a good resource for PAs? How can they get past some of the concerns about privacy?
Yeah, I think EAP programs can be vital to help healthcare professionals address urgent needs. In outpatient psychiatry, I spend most of my day talking to my patients about whether or not they need medicines or need therapy. But I'm not an absolutist at all. You know, there is no need. There's only where we are and identifying where we want to be, right? I mean, if you can use tools in this process that makes it possible or faster, then we decide if this makes sense. There's a old joke in medicine that says, doctors are the worst patients, right? Well, this is certainly no less true of PAs. And it's because we know how the sausage is made, right? And so much about burnout is about isolation, right? Isolation from our patients, isolation from our colleagues, and most importantly, isolation from the joy and feeling of purpose that brought us into medicine. I mean, beyond the money and the flexible schedule, right? I mean, the only way to possibly treat burnout is to slowly rediscover what brought us into medicine, how to reconnect to deep purpose again. I was just reading an interesting research article last week called Testing the Medical Covenant. And in it, the author talks about the difference between contracts, which we have for our job or our mortgage, and covenants, which we have between us and our patients. The author, Dr. William May, said, covenants require that the healer attend to the patient as a whole, rather than as a pawn in this battle against death or extending life. But we need to find that again. Being able to engage with a therapist through an EAP or otherwise help us to regress to an earlier time and see the small choices we have made that got us to where we are. And also, it may help us to find the path out if we choose.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, burnout is obviously one of those topics that can be difficult to talk about because we all take pride in our work. We find it very difficult to admit when we get overwhelmed or frustrated by the things going on around us. But it also speaks to our responsibility to look out for one another, knowing that burnout is such an issue. What advice do you have for PAs who have concerns that their work colleagues may have unrecognized symptoms of burnout? Do you have any suggestions for starting what could be a very difficult conversation?
Yeah, it's definitely a very difficult conversation to talk with colleagues about this. Despite being raised Roman Catholic, I don't feel particularly religious. However, I've always appreciated the Bible verse from the Gospel of Matthew, which is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? When we are suffering, what would we want? It's our responsibility as a colleague, a health provider, and a human being to help those in pain, even when they can't see it themselves. Reaching out to somebody who's suffering is the sure sign of love that there is, especially when that reaction is uncertain. But it's also important that you learn to love and let go, because each person has their own journey, and you can't help somebody that doesn't want help.
I agree, Jay. I think it's very important that we gauge our colleagues' interest or openness to these conversations. Because as you stated, if they don't want help, there's not much that can be done in those situations. Now, to take a slightly different angle, we all know that it's our responsibility to report impaired clinicians when things may be done that lead to a compromise in patient safety. Now, what is our responsibility to report when we see providers who have these unrecognized symptoms of burnout? Do we have an obligation to go overhead or to get administration or other individuals involved?
Well, we all heard of the severe consequences of reporting your coworkers, right? Even when the health consequences could be severe for patients. The research shows this is true of many fields outside of medicine as well. This is where good management, administration comes in, finding ways for consequence-free, perhaps anonymous reporting that lets the person in need get in, get recognized, and get helped rather than get punished.
I agree. I think we need to be able to provide each other support without feeling like there's going to be punishment for those who come forward with these concerns. Now, I know hearing from PAs who've experienced some of these issues makes a major difference to our listeners. From either of you, are there resources that you can recommend for sharing amongst peers in the healthcare community about this topic of burnout?
I feel that creating an open dialogue in your immediate circle is a great place to start. If you don't have any other medical providers in your direct circle, maybe reach out to friends from PA school or one of your old educators. You can also reach out to your PA state chapter to see if they have any resources for burnout, compassion fatigue, like a support group or a local online forum. Pacifica is a really good app that was recommended to me by a friend. It was designed by a psychologist based on cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness, and mood tracking. And there's also a place to share your thoughts and feelings anonymously.
I really like the suggestion of going to the local and state PA organizations. I think that involvement in those type of groups only furthers and helps to develop our profession. Now, Jay, Nalay, for the PA students listening in, can you draw from your experience to give a single piece of advice for addressing burnout?
That's a great question, James, and unfortunately, one of the hardest to answer also. Also, I'm not particularly good with magic bullets, but I'll give it my best shot. We've been a lot of doom and gloom here, and really have just begun to scratch the surface as to the impact of this global problem. But the way I see it, there are two kinds of healthcare stress, right? There's stress that's inherent to caring for patients suffering, which needs to be mitigated as it's kind of part of the job and not going away. And then there's external patient stress, things that don't have very much to do with patient care, but have a lot to do with financing it and regulating its quality. This stress needs to be addressed and eliminated as much as possible. And that's really a system problem. You need to find an employer or a company who's working and listening to employees about how to address this and work together to eliminate or reduce these issues. An interesting article I came across while thinking about this podcast from the International Journal of Clinical Practice placed the breakdown in patient safety and burnout culture on a healthcare system that has removed the frontline health provider from their proper role of patient protector and advocate. Taking doctors and PAs away from this role relegates them to another cog in the wheel of modern healthcare. Right? There are several administrative and managerial ways to address these problems, but I'll leave these for another time. Personally, I'm a big advocate for mindfulness-based stress reduction programs that help us control our inner experience and slow our minds and listen to what we need. We have to give it the time, though. You know, being in Las Vegas, we have a lot of Cirque du Soleil here. And I don't know if you've ever seen a Cirque du Soleil show, but they're incredible athletes. And, you know, when I talk to my patients about stress and other colleagues, I compare it to being a professional gymnast, right? You just don't show up and expect to perform a two-hour show at night after sitting in front of the TV and eating Pizza Hut all day long, right? I mean, these people need to exercise and eat the proper way to allow them to perform at their peak and not get hurt. The same is true of PAs. We need to see the impact of what we do outside of work as directly affecting what we get out of work. When we're in survival mode, we all know we have reduced prefrontal cortex functioning, right? I mean, that means that reasoning, creativity, and problem-solving abilities are all impaired just when we need them most. Love yourself to realize you're not a machine.
Well, I would love to echo everything Jay just said. My single piece of advice through personal experience was just to advocate for myself. Advocate for yourself as a new PA. The feelings of inadequacy are normal, and they will change and they will go away. As someone that's been working in the field for a really long time, the ongoing need to express your needs to your circle, your boss, your coworkers, your husband or your wife and your friends, expressing what you need will go a long way. I also want to echo the mindfulness that Jay had mentioned. Mindfulness training, mindfulness-based stress relief programs are huge and life-changing for people that have gone through them personally and professionally, and people that I've worked with and encountered. Mindfulness is a great way to manage stress in work or your personal life.
I want to say thank you so much to both of you for joining us today and for all of our audience for listening in. It was great to hear your perspectives on burnout. I know this is an issue that many of us will face at one time or another, and hopefully this has given our listeners some tools to both identify and deal with it. Be sure to visit the PA Foundation website for additional resources, and catch all our Vital Minds episodes at pa-foundation.org. This episode of Vital Minds is a collaborative effort between the NCCPA Health Foundation and the PA Foundation, using their collective impact to encourage us as PAs and medical providers to care for ourselves and one another so we're the best we can be for our patients. Until next time, everyone, I'm James Millward, and this is Vital Minds.